I'm Avery Arden, and you're listening to Blessed Are the Binary Breakers, a multi-faith podcast of transgender stories. Another week, another chance to hear from a forest defender whose activism intersects with spirituality and gender. If you've listened to the previous two episodes in this Stop Cop City series, you'll know that Atlanta's Wilani Forest is under attack, with clear-cutting in progress to make way for a hyper-militarized police training facility that those of us who oppose this project call Cop City. I and my previous two guests have delved into many of the consequences that this project will have if completed. How this forest rightfully belongs to the Muscogee Nation, how the environmental impact of destroying this forest that helps combat climate change and prevent flooding will most directly harm the black and brown majority area of Atlanta that surrounds it, how Cop City will further equip police not to de-escalate violence, but to amp up the brutality and suppress protests, and more. For today's pre-interview background, I want to provide a little more information about the history of this beautiful forest that has been subjected to so much violence and hate since it was first seized from the Muscogee Nation. For 13,000 years, the Muscogee Creek people cared for the forests in what is now called Atlanta, practicing responsible farming and foraging that benefited humans and all living creatures in the area. Their name for the life-giving river that flows through this region and down into the Atlantic, now called Georgia's South River, is Wilani, meaning brown water. After all those millennia, the Muscogee people experienced a gradual and then drastic pushing out from their lands. Starting around the 1790s, white farmers, relying on the enslaved labor of black and indigenous people, began to settle among Muscogee settlements and hunting and gathering zones. As white demand for agricultural land grew, the Muscogee people were forced westward to Oklahoma from 1821 onward, culminating in 1836 and 7 with the United States Army's forcible removal of those 20,000 or so Muscogee who still remained on their ancestral lands. 1837 was the same year that Atlanta was founded. As this colonizer city and the surrounding slave plantations grew, Wilani Forest was used as a dumping ground for garbage. Long after slavery officially ended, black people continued to experience forced labor on colonized Muscogee land. From around 1920 all the way through 1990, mostly black prisoners worked on the old Atlanta prison farm built within the Wilani Forest. In 2021, a report by the Atlanta Community Press Collective confirmed that these prisoners were subjected to systemic abuse, torture, overcrowding, neglect, and racialized violence throughout the prison farm's history. It is probable that many of these prisoners remain where they were so brutally mistreated, in unmarked graves. Many argue that the prison farm should be listed on the National Register of Historic Places and therefore preserved. Instead, Cop City is set to destroy it, as if bulldozing the prison and paving over those unmarked graves could ever erase the atrocities of our very recent past. Through all these eras of violence and pain, the forest has lived on. In its profusion of trees and fungi, birds and insects, fish and four-legged creatures. It is one of the last breeding grounds for various amphibians and an important migration site for wading birds. Cop City would see all this life, all this history, and a lush future annihilated and replaced by more violence, more brutality against black and indigenous people and other people of color. There is time to stop it, but that time is running out. Against police and political powers, against concrete barriers and riot gear, the forest defenders stand with little more than solidarity and a dream. A dream of what has been and what could be, of greenery and growth where there has been so much death. Today's guest is a great believer in dreams. They go by the name Tov, and their voice has been altered for the purpose of anonymity. Let's get into my conversation with them now, which took place in early March.
Some general stuff about me. I live in a pretty rural area. I am trans masculine, gender fluid, chronically ill and disabled, and I love music and drawing and going on walks and picking flowers.
Oh, cool. I also love going on walks and flowers and stuff. So, how did you get involved with the movement, or how did you first learn about it, and what moved you to participate?
I think I first heard about it a couple years ago, kind of word of mouth, just through some anarchist circles. It's interesting to kind of locate where the motivation to participate comes in, because to me, I think like hearing of like any detail about it, even if it's not like the full details of what Cop City is, but like hearing literally anything about it, I think would make most people kind of like, okay, actually fuck this, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm an Aries, so I'm just like constantly motivated by that like passion of like anger, moving quickly.
Injustice pisses you off. Yes.
Exactly. So I think that's kind of like where it happened, and just like the more I learned about it, I know some people who were like involved in doing like a kind of like an info night tour, and I went to that, and that was like kind of a more pivotal moment when things like really solidified for me. I was like, oh this is way fucked up.
I had a similar experience with, like, I mean, there's always so much terrible stuff going on in the world that it's like everything sucks and you don't always know what to do. So like in theory, you're like, yes, I'm so pissed off about all of this. But yeah, for me, it was actually visiting the forest and meeting people that inspired me to be more active. So I feel that. What do you think it was about getting to go and hear people give information that, is there anything you remember from that first visit that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things. I think anytime you're in a space with other people to talk about things like this, I think that is really just like emblematic of the power of community and like coming out of this like isolated, okay, I'm by myself caring about this thing and I'm the only person I can see. To like being in a space where it's like, oh, okay, we all care about this thing. And that, to me, it really materializes it.
Yeah.
I think also just like learning about the history of the land and, you know, from colonization to like it becoming a plantation to a prison farm. And the fact that, Cop City just would be a continuation of this legacy of enslavement and brutalization, that was really, really pivotal.
Yeah, totally. When it comes to any spiritual elements, first off, how would you describe your spirituality or your faith or however you like to word it? And then how does that interact with your involvement in the movement?
Yeah. dang, I don't even know how to like really describe my spirituality. I think I'm pretty newly fascinated with like mysticism. So I'm like more or less conceptualizing myself as like a baby mystic, but like not really. It's sort of like very bastardized mysticism.
Okay.
but yeah, I think for me, my spirituality is very, very, very deeply connected with my dreams. And yeah, and I think also like so much of it is really important to like the context of like ancestry, right? So like all of the people who had to like live and die in order for us to all live and die, and like not only people but like more than people. And for a lot of us that also means like being accountable to those ancestors, right? Like making some of them or most of them roll over in their graves. Yeah, so that, I guess that's kind of a starting point of how I would describe my spirituality. And then, God, in terms of the movement, it's like, again, very related to me to like dreams. I ended up going out there for the week of action because of a really intense dream I had. And yeah, I just, for me, it's something that I kind of allow myself to be guided by. And I feel like it is really, in my experience, like very inextricable from any type of movement work, if that isn't too big.
I mean, it's very big and very like, there's a lot of that resonates with me. If you're willing to share it, I would love to hear a bit about that dream that inspired you to get to the week of action.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can try.
Yeah, dreams are so hard to describe. So
they're so, you know, encrypted and like, yeah. But before I had this dream, I was preparing to help with an info night for the week of solidarity. Mm-hmm. And in that preparation, I was doing a lot of research and I learned about Gili. Do you know about Gili?
No, I don't.
So it's, let's see, if I'm remembering the acronym correctly, it's Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange, and it's funded by, I think, Georgia State University. And what that is basically Israeli cops or military forces coming in and being trained in Georgia, and then this like exchange kind of happening. And like that might be a very reductive way of explaining it too. It's not super fresh in my brain, but would advise for people to look into Gili.
Yeah, that does not sound good. That sounds very, very bad.
Yeah, really bad. It was pretty wild. The dream I had was I dreamt that Gili or like soldiers had my mom, and they were trapping her in this really encrypted game, and they kept telling me like, oh, you know, like you have to just like play this game in order to save her. But I could like hear her screaming like in pain and could see her being tortured, but I was separated by all of these walls. And so the game was basically like, I would come up to a wall, I would, you know, basically decode, and then I would go to the next wall, and it would be harder, and it would get harder and harder the closer I got to her. And every time I got to like the last wall, the game would restart. Which is interesting, because with my family of origin, I'm like very estranged from them. I don't really have a relationship with my mom, but to me, it felt very, in terms of symbolism, it felt very closely linked to like Mother Earth. And that dream, that kind of like sequence of playing this game repeated three or four times. And then when I woke up, it just was like a very, very strong feeling of like, okay, I need to go.
Yeah.
And like, I could understand how in hearing that, like, that might not be the thing that like other people would immediately get out of that dream. But I also think it's really interesting how sometimes spirituality or our own experiences of like spiritual communication is just like sort of beyond words.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, can't explain this, but there's a feeling here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the vibes. It's
yeah.
Thank you so much for doing your best to put it into words to sort of articulate what really is impossible to articulate.
Hell yeah. Thank you for making space for that.
So as you've been involved in the movement, do you want to share sort of a bit of what you've done or what you've experienced, either your favorite parts or the hardest parts about being involved, any of that kind of stuff?
Gosh, I think favorite parts to me, I think really aligns with just like meeting more people and like building. And like I kind of mentioned before that I'm in like a pretty, like a relatively rural area. Yep. And so I'm not surrounded by a lot of people who think similarly to how I do. Being in a space where it's like a very concentrated amount of people who are like sort of in alignment with each other's principles and like working towards something of a common goal, that was like so healing and so beautiful. And yeah, I'm personally like really big on relationships, and like to me, that's the most meaningful part of this, right? Because that's like the whole foundation of everything. So just being friends and like ask for what you need and then give what you can give. That's so beautiful to me. It makes my eyes all sparkly.
Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to pinpoint a least favorite part. I feel like there could be the obvious answer of like the like police everywhere.
So many police all over the place anytime I went to any of the like protests and stuff.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Like an absurd amount at some of the things I went to, there were only like 15 like activists and like 40 cops. And I'm just like, y'all are really that scared of us, huh?
Yeah, for real. Oh my God.
One of the things I went to, we were just walking around to different public buildings to give, like, to read letters to different leaders, people in the government who have helped fund Cop City. Like, all we were doing was walking around with pieces of paper to read, and there were so many cops.
Oh my God. Did you hear what happened with the comedy night that got planned?
Oh no, I have not heard.
They had, during the week of action, they had a stand-up comedy event planned in the forest, and there was like some type of rumor that the police were gonna raid because they literally thought that a fucking comedy event was like code for something. And like that just shows how fucking stupid and scared they are. Like, oh yeah. My God.
Like, I imagine most of the comedy night would be about making fun of police, so maybe they also didn't like that.
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, and it's like with the concert that happened.
Yeah. It's like my fucking heart hurts so badly for those people, because like it's such a fucking ridiculous trumped up charge that they're fucking like at a music festival and getting charged with domestic terrorism.
Right.
And I'd be surprised if they were able to pull anything off. But even then, at least the next 2 years of all of those people's lives, or most of those people's lives, are going to be absolutely fucking horrible. Yeah, so I'm processing emotions out loud. Yeah. Maybe just a plug for people to like write to them, you know, like figure out ways to like support them.
Yes.
Support the Solidarity Fund.
Yeah, I'll definitely be sharing like links for folks to know where to write in, where to donate if they can. I don't know if you have any, I guess, advice or thoughts for people who, when hearing about that kind of thing, whether they hear about people being labeled terrorists and get the wrong idea, or else they understand like, oh, the police are doing, you know, making the charges sound that bad on purpose, but it makes me too scared to get involved type thing. Like, would you have any sort of thoughts or advice for folks?
Yeah, thanks for asking. And I would say also, like, I'm a pretty deep believer in everyone's own intuitive wisdom. So I would like want to really reinforce, like, if you're listening to this and those like prompts or questions that just came up resonate with you. Like, maybe the answers are already inside of yourself. And to that, I would also say, like, it can't be understated that the prison system and, like, jails and all of that, like, that's legalized slavery. I think anyone who's, like, familiar with, like, abolition probably has that kind of, like, understanding. But it can't be understated the importance of, like, historical context and the ways that that is really applicable to everything that's happening with this movement and elsewhere, right? So, like, I would say, like, find some fucking cool history books and, like, dig in and then apply those blueprints to what's happening, because it does have a way of just, like time is kind of a circle and these things repeat. And there are elders of this movement, like, not maybe not specifically this movement, but, right, this movement is interconnected with a lot of different ones who have lived through atrocities and who have documented it and then, like, given us, you know, time machines in the forms of, like,
yes,
books and speeches. Like, the ability to, like, self-educate is so, so important. For me, it was a really key part in further radicalizing myself, just, like, digging into the arsenal of, like, educational tools that we have available to us. So that's a big thing. And also just, like, in terms of, like, recognizing what, like, these charges are and recognizing what the raids are, like, obviously they are scared of what's happening there. And a big part of what these behaviors could be, like, identified as are, like, intimidation tactics, right? Like, you're mentioning about, like, oh, well, I want to go to a music festival, but I'm scared now that I'm going to get arrested and possibly sent to prison. Like, that's a real thing, right? And I would say, like, assess your risks as needed. Like, assess what your arrestability is, assess what your safety needs are. I'm, like, so big on, like, people using a buddy system, people being informed on their rights. And then also just, like, on a sensory level, like, being able to ground yourself and be embodied, be, you know, making these decisions with a level of, like, decisiveness and clarity. And being able to discern, right, when something is an intimidation tactic, because especially, like, it's been said that, like, there are strength in numbers, right? Especially during the weeks of action, there are a lot of people, and those pigs are fucking scared, and they should be, right? You know, like, it's okay to also, like, when you're in a space that is scary and that there are real risks, it's also okay to sometimes laugh at, like, how fucking ridiculous the oppressor is, and to, like, empowered in that.
Oh, yes. Like, the comedy night thing, that humor really is such an effective tool against oppression when it's utilized correctly.
Seriously.
That sometimes there is a lot to laugh at, and the oppressor hates to be laughed at, so.
Yeah, so keep laughing.
Yeah, oh man. I did just want to sort of go back to what you said earlier, the reiteration of the history of the forest, just all that this land has been through, and how we are fighting to break it out of that cycle of what it's been through since colonizations, all the violence that it's been put through, and right now it's serving as the lung of the city. It is bringing life, and we just want to keep letting it be life. Which, you know, doesn't seem like too big an ask, but
yeah, thank you. I just, like, hearing you reflect it back, I'm getting, like, fired up again and trying to keep a cap on it so I don't just rant.
Oh man, I mean, feel free to rant if you want to, but
I guess the thing I will say, with, like, humbly accepting that ranting invitation, the thing that really pops up for me is just, like, for people who don't know, and this has been, like, stated, I can also send links to zines and or videos if that would be helpful to like link in this.
Yes, please do.
Hell yeah. But yeah, like you're saying, this is the lungs of the city, right? So it traps carbon emissions and runoff within it, the trees do. Without those trees, like there is going to be immediate environmental impacts for the surrounding Black and brown neighborhoods. And like, that's not a fucking mistake.
No.
Like, I just want to name that that's not a mistake. The state, the police, they know what they're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, this is going to have immediate, very harmful impacts.
Yes.
Temperatures raising, throwing like more concrete and vehicles which just reflect heat off of them, and not to mention like flooding and all of the things that happen, like the pollution of the air. They're like, oh, I could go off, but I just wanted to really like nail that stake in for people who maybe don't know yet.
Yes.
Just like understanding how fucking detrimental this will be.
Yeah.
In multiple ways.
Yeah.
If it happens, which it won't.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you for ranting, because it's so terrible on like so many levels. And I feel like if this were like a movie, who the bad guy is so clear,
right?
That it's absurd that this is even like this is, a lot of issues have nuance. This one, there's not that much nuance. The bad guys are clear.
They're legit like cartoon supervillains over there, like rubbing their hands together. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Twirling mustaches.
With all their bags of money everywhere.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we've left out that you'd want to get to before signing off?
I don't think so. I guess, yeah, I think we covered it, and I'm just like super honored and grateful that you invited me to share this space with you.
Oh, thank you. Friends, if you feel inspired by Tav's story today, now is a great time to do what you can to support the movement to stop Cop City. April 22nd is Earth Day, while April 23rd is Tortuguita's birthday. If the police hadn't killed this nonviolent activist in January, they would be turning 27. Please, do what you can to honor their memory. I'll have links to where you can donate in the episode notes, as well as a link to a webpage with ideas for how to get active for Tortuguita's Birth Week. I'd also appreciate if you supported this show by rating and reviewing it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really does help boost the numbers. Or share it with a friend you think might enjoy it. Get the word out there about these phenomenal forest defenders who are sharing their stories with us. That's it for now. Stay tuned for another interview with the Forest Defender next week. In the meantime, get out there and break some binaries, defend the Wilani Forest, and be a blessing to the world with your life.